And now, just a wee bit of Father Malachi Martin.
Well, I'm curious about something, caller. You advertised yourself as an atheist when you first called.
Yes, sir.
I understand an agnostic. I understand somebody who has not been able to quite make the leap of faith necessary to be one with God. But I don't understand an atheist. That's somebody, by definition, who believes there is no such thing as God. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. I do not believe in God. I do not believe in the devil. If you don't believe in one, you can't believe in the other.
That's right.
You know, you're not a devil worshiper just because you're an atheist.
Right.
No, you're not.
I'm a good person. I would treat my son right and wrong. By the old saying of Missouri, I am a show me person.
Yes.
I just can't quite grasp the concept of faith. You know, I just can't quite grasp it.
Yep.
It's like, you know, the old coin trick behind the ear where you say, where'd it go? I've got it. You know, I don't believe in magic. I don't believe in faith. I wish I could. I mean, I am envious of people who believe in everlasting life.
I'll tell you something.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I tell you something. We said it to somebody earlier who was on with Arthur myself. If I would like to love you, it's the beginning of love.
Mm-hmm.
And if I would like to believe, it's the beginning of belief. Because otherwise you'd say, I don't give a damn about it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So there's something there. And look, I don't know your personal life, and probably God will never give us the chance of consorting with and revealing each other to each other. But he has a plan for you because you're a good man.
Yes, sir.
And you're doing a good duty. And he will reveal himself to you in his own way. It won't be, probably, the way he reveals himself to Art Bell or to me or to Art's wife or Art's mother, whatever it is. But you have found God already. You're not calling him God. And I'll be praying for you.
I thank him.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. The question was, what was on earth, if anything, before man? Father, you said that Satan and his disciples were here, but you said there were others as well.
Yes, the I take it, Art, that the phrase you used just now, on earth, is just refers to the tri-dimensional existence that we know.
Yes, sir.
Our senses.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, what impedes our minds understanding the answer to Daniel's question, Daniel from Austin's question, is the fact that our minds and our education has been geared, as it were, programmed on the idea of evolution, Darwin's evolution, the Darwinian idea of evolution.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a mythical idea, and it has nothing to do with reality, and doesn't explain reality. But it does. It's in our minds, and it blocks our intelligence. If you read, and I may seem to be rambling, Art, but I'm not really. If you read the first 12 chapters of Genesis, particularly the first 6 or 7 of them.
Mm-hmm.
You will find that interlaced with names and supposedly historical references, there are phrases and sentences which suppose the existence of beings for which we have no names. They're called the sons of men and the sons of God. The Bnei Elohim, as they call it in the Hebrew, and the daughters of men, etc., and the giants that lived in those days. You find all this. And the old Yahvist writer, the old writers composing, putting this Bible together in the 9th century B.C., from the records they had, were doing their best to make a coherent statement, and all they could do was gather testimony. What I was referring to was this, that it would seem, it will take a long time to explain it, though, it would seem that the universe as we know it today, you and I and Daniel and the rest of us, is a reconstruction of a universe that was almost destroyed by the first phase of God's creation, namely the angelic world. And the very form of our bodies, the very form of our bodies is an ad hoc restoration by God. And we won't have this sort of a body when we're in heaven. We will have our bodies, but not this sort of a body. Now, the reconstruction implies that the revolt of Lucifer and the angels that went with him, the Bible says one-third, but, you know, the Bible's numbers are just numerically interesting. It says that they revolted and they almost destroyed the first handiwork of God, and there was a restoration in view of the coming of Christ later on, much later on. Now, what existed before that, what was destroyed by this terrible war, this terrible revolt, by the first creatures that came from God's hands, whom we call angels. Angel itself is an ad hoc name, as we say. There's nothing specific about it at all. And it's very hard to be specific about an angel. But anyway, the beings that existed and the forms they took, we have no human words for it. Those chapters of Genesis, the early chapters, they try to fix names like the sons of God, the Bnei Elohim, and Bnei HaAdam, and the daughters of men, and the sons of God, and the giants, etc. They're all hoc names. They also were at a loss because we would not recognize them as human in our sense of the word, because what is human for us is something with legs and arms and a belly and genitals and a head and arms and exiting from the birth canal of a woman. But then what we're left with and where we can track it, but it's a difficult and a long tracking process, is this, that there is this middle plateau, which is the remnant of the old original creation, created material cosmos, and that on that plateau, Lucifer and his crowd still function and will until the last day of this cosmos, when it's all blown away by the breath of Christ's mouth, and only heaven and hell exist. Now, that may not be much of an explanation, but at least it's the start. It's the first level of an expression or explanation of what I meant.
Help you out, caller?
I was wondering if you had very much problem dealing with those type of entities that are leftovers.
If I stay with my protection, no. If I step outside my protection, yes, I have what can be literally called a hell of an amount of trouble.
Okay. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Father Malachi Martin. Hello.
I myself have been practicing Wicca for a number of years.
Yes.
And in growing up, I was around many people who had, I guess in one way or another, stepped into the occult. You know, my mother was into astrology. My father was part of the Rosicrucians back in the 70s.
Yes.
And my wife was featured in a book called Something in the Blood. It was about vampiric lifestyles. And in dealing with all that, I found out on the market, you know, I read it quite a bit,
mm-hmm.
and I found a void in books that deal with occult crimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am putting together a manuscript on a book, and I've researched occult crimes quite exhaustingly.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a question for you, Father.
Yes.
I found that many of the people who do commit these horrid crimes
mm-hmm.
Were tormented as children. you know, were probably picked on in school, had abusive parents.
Right. That's right. That's right. You're right there.
Do you feel that perhaps, in your opinion, the devil or demons have been pushing at them since they were children, or is this something that the parents have pushed on and they have simply found an opening to grasp the soul of these people?
The analysis, the only analysis for the moment that satisfies me, satisfies what I have found anyway, is as follows. You see, if you abuse a child, the child can take it one way or another. Now, supposing the child is, say, 4, 5, something like that, or even 6, but anyway, in that young age, out of infancy, but not quite in boyhood or youthhood, if they take it badly, they can fall under the influence of the demon.
Mm-hmm.
If they take it well, which they can, they don't. And what's the deciding factor? Their free will. And that's where there's an initial act of will. I think that everybody who comes into existence in this world, sheer infancy is one thing, where you simply, your mother is your world, and her breasts are everything for you, and you're just that. But once you start getting any knowledge, any appreciation of the world outside you as outside you, there comes a moment, some stark personal moment all by yourself, when you make a decision, and I think you make a decision between light and darkness. There's a man called Jean-Paul Richter, a German writer. He's dead now, but he said that he was born in the Black Forest. His father was a woodcutter, and they lived in a small hut, and there was a pile of manure outside their door always, because his father had horses to drag the lumber, and he went out one morning when he was 2.5 or 3 years, and he stood and climbed on top of the manure just to look out, because it was an easy thing to climb, and he heard the cock crowing, and he saw the first rays of sunlight over the tops of the pine trees, and he heard himself say to himself, "Ich bin ein Ich. I am an I am a self. I am me." That sort of a moment of choice. Well, I think that once you exercise free will, the point is that you can make a choice at that early age, which puts you within the realm of the demon, or you can make a choice that puts you in the realm of the angels. And why you make that choice, I do not know. I do not know the factors. I do not know. I think free will is the most extraordinary gift and the most dangerous gift we have.
Father, I have a question for you.
Sure.
It concerns the Vatican's intense, almost obsessive interest with astronomy.
Yes.
In Arizona, the Vatican, despite environmental obstacles that would not normally be overcome by anybody else, in conjunction with the University of Arizona, muscled its way onto Mount Graham and constructed an observatory. Can you enlighten me at all as to why they have such an obsessive interest in astronomy?
Yes, I can, in general terms, Art. The reason is this. They've always had this, by the way. They've always had an observatory. Not always. It dates from about the 9th century A.D. But there's intense interest now in astronomy because of the contents of some of the secret revelations they claim were made in this century about the near future, involving the stars, involving astronomical data. It's about as general a statement as I'd be allowed to make.
Oh, I think I can read that one quite well.
Okay, I'm sure you cannot. But there definitely is an interest of, because they're looking for the evidence they need to decide that certain things must be done.